we can just have our two long-term farm advocates.
Which one are we starting with, 340?
The first bill on the calendar is Senate Bill 340, sponsored by Senator Tula. It essentially extends the moratorium on land payments from 5 years to 6 years. That's the only change in existing statute. It has a zero fiscal note. Of course, that doesn't include what happens to the fund, I guess. But that's they probably won't collect any money anyway. Senator Catula?
Yes, the land payment moratorium, what you have, Mr. Chairman, is the members of the committee, is a situation in which you're trying to develop in one generation that which often takes three. There's not sufficient funding available from the development period to pay everything. So we're just asking for an extension of a year here for a moratorium on land payments. I think there's 56 people now that are in the extension of it. I just walked in, and so I'm coming into the bill. A bit cold, but that's essentially the gist of it, and my attorney is here to answer any detailed questions that you might wish.
Senator Coghill, are there any changes significant? There is a resources CS. What are the significant changes? Looks like just drafted.
Yeah, but, Mr. Chairman, the only thing we changed on it was the title. Tightened it up.
Thank you.
Prevent mischief.
Senator Pickett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question. Why six? Why not seven? Why not eight?
It was brought to my attention that they needed that extra year to get in shape for the restructuring and other things were occurring. There are others, I think, subsequently have contacted members of finance maybe and said that they would prefer to have a 7 year, 2 year extension instead of one. I don't have objection to the period of time of extension. I do think that you do need a footing and a base so that people do prepare and plan on making those payments, plan it into their schedule. But the five-year period, because it took a long time to get the financing restructuring plan going and it's still not going, wasn't sufficient. And they did need that extra year. So I just asked very conservatively for an extra year. I have no opposition to a longer period, of course.
And I guess my question was, is next year going to be seven and the following year eight?
Entirely possible that could be before you. I agree that that's a possibility. I do think nationally in Alaska there is an improvement in the potential for for the future of this development.
Thank you. Further questions by members of the committee? Senator Jarrell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, could you just explain the difference between the agricultural loan payment and the agricultural land payment? Is there seems to be
yes,
a difference
on that. What happened was, and this is what is always, and I'll go over it very quickly, but this is what's somewhat confusing. We had the Agricultural Action Council, and it essentially provided for the loans for the developmental stage of the farm, and the Agricultural Loan Fund provided for the operating capital in the buildings. The Agricultural Action Council's efforts were dumped upon the Agricultural Loan Fund, so now they're really the same situation, but it's a different category. It's the same program now collecting. But the loan payments came under one category for land development, and the Agricultural Loan Fund provided, again, capital for the cattle, the buildings, and so on. That's the reason for the two different.
So, Mr. Chairman, are you looking at two payments then, or that?
You'd be looking at, theoretically now, I suppose you could be looking in this developmental stage, payments for land, chattel payments, payments for land and land clearing, chattel payments, and you'd probably be looking for capital improvement payments. You could be looking at least three categories of payments minimum coming out of this during a period of development. That's the problem. So they're trying to restructure, and this is one of the categories. This is the development category.
But Mr. Chairman, I guess that what I'm trying to realize then is, are you actually really solving the problem by only taking care of one area rather than looking
This is one of several bills that would be involved in attempting to provide some hope and solution. The restructuring of the debt, the restructuring of the debt is the paramount legislation, and it's still in Senate resources. This is just giving them time.
But
there's two different ones. There's one on Point McKenzie and one on Delta.
But are the other loans also tied to the land as well? So I mean,
yes, you could. You what you have here, you have the developmental ones. Then you have a first mortgage agricultural loan that is also tied to the land, in that that first mortgage on the land probably provided for the buildings and maybe land clearing and so on. The safety in this is always that as long as the agricultural loan fund or any other agency has first mortgage on the property, it has the guarantee against the property for the debt. And that's probably necessary in good public policy.
Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Right. My understanding is a zero fiscal note on this bill?
Yes, it's just merely an extension. And
yes, yes. My understanding is it was before the Resources Committee, and three members of this committee are on Resources Committee, and there's a zero fiscal note on the bill. I guess what I'm suggesting is I'm not sure why it necessarily is even before Finance Committee with a zero fiscal note, and I was going to make a motion.
Okay, I just have one question on the title. The original bill was entitled An Act Relating to Moratoriums on Agricultural Loan Payments. This is an act relating to moratoriums on agricultural land payments. The department, when they sent a letter over to Resources on it, suggested the title be an act extending the moratorium period on agricultural land payments.
As Senator, what we did is, and what was done in Resources, since this really did cover land payments, it was that they restated the title, directing it directly to the body of the bill. There is a broader purpose in what probably DNR wished.
Mr. Chairman.
This bill just merely extends the moratorium on land payment. It doesn't extend the moratorium on any other aspect of the agricultural development. It's a separate debate.
Senator, you?
Just a question separate from that, though. Does DNR support the bill?
The chairman of the Natural Resources Committee, very well know.
That's all I want to know.
Mr. Weaver?
We have no objection to that.
Okay.
We're worried.
Yeah, I think that was my understanding.
Is the title adequately typed now, in your opinion? Thank you. Senator Duncan?
Mr. Chairman, unless you wanted to go on with the discussion, I was ready to move CS for Senate Bill number 3.
Senator Hensley, you have a question before I move the bill?
Are we being grammatically correct? On the title, still.
I think so.
Is that the plural for moratorium?
You mean moratorium, I? No, it's more
moratorium.
Moratorium, yeah, S removed. Cover all, I think. Activating moratorium on agricultural land payments.
Correct. That's the plural of moratorium?
I was looking at the legal counsel. Is it an A or an S?
It's not the difference between geese and goose.
We could put 2A moratorium on agricultural land payments and take the S off of moratorium.
That's okay.
That's what legal counsel is for moratorium.
We used to have an engrossment committee, Mr. Chairman, that took care of the S's and the apostrophes and so on, but
that's all it's wrong with the bill.
All right. I would remove my objection.
It is correct. It is an S.
Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chairman, I haven't had a chance to review every line in the bill to be sure that it doesn't have any incorrect comments, but taking a chance, I would like to move the bill.
Are there objections to moving the bill? Without objection, the bill is moved out of committee with individual recommendations. I would just state that it's interesting to have a bill with a zero fiscal note that costs so much.
Well, but your first statement at the beginning of the committee is right, I think.
You won't get it anyway?
If they were making payments anyway, it doesn't cost anything if you put a moratorium.
Okay, the next bill is Senate Bill 353.
Why are you signing so low down
here? Senator Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 353 is a straightforward an act extending the Agricultural Production Credit Law from 1991 from 1988 to 1991, giving a 3-year more light production credit makes the difference. It's got a zero fiscal note. makes the difference of the farmer, especially in the light of the current Alaska economy. The original production credit law was passed in 1986. This act mandated the Commissioner of Natural Resources establish a program of production credits to apply against interest due on agricultural loans and agricultural land sale loans. The credit is based on agricultural production grown in Alaska, say. It's just another peg that we're putting in to try and keep the agricultural program going in Alaska. And as it is with the other two bills that I have before you this morning.
Questions by members of the committee?
Yeah. Okay.
Senator Hensley and then Senator Fisher.
Senator Conkin, could you give us some idea of how this might affect, say, a single farmer? What does that mean to this individual?
Well, I think that what it does is it's a kind of a... gives an annual credit of 10% to the sale as documented by the farmer, and it gives him a buy Alaska or raise Alaska product incentive. And potato farmers what it does is it gives them a production credit of 10% on their agricultural revolving loan.
It reduces their debt.
Yes, it reduces their debt.
So this works, essentially they get 110% of their sale price on every product.
That's right.
Senator Fisher.
Maybe I'm a little bit confused here. As I understand it, in 1987, there's a production credit of $500,000, which means that there is a fiscal note somewhere online, somebody is picking that up. But how does this tie in with the previous bill? Can you get a production credit and not make payments on your loan?
Not pay, make payments on your loan?
In other words, if you have a moratorium
on land,
you still qualify for the production credit.
Also, the production credit is to give the problem that you have is that you have people that produce and people that don't produce. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to give the production credit to the guy that's trying hard, that's producing on the farm, to give him a credit on his loan.
Okay, there's no way, though, that you can have a moratorium where you pay nothing and you get cash on it.
No.
In other words, this has to come off of something else.
That's right.
Which reduces the balance.
Well, as I understand it, and Mark Weaver can correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, maybe I'll explain this a little bit better, but the moratorium says that you don't have to make the payments, but you still accrue the interest and everything else.
Right.
And this would offset that accrual rate, at least, or something of that nature. Mark, could you come join us at the table just so that for technical questions you answer? If you could give us a breakdown of how this applies to both the moratorium on loans and the moratorium on land payments.
To the extent that interest is accrued on either, 10% of somebody's gross sales would be credited toward that interest. So you are correct, Senator, that it would wipe out the accrual of interest on a land payment even though it were in moratorium. It would also, because many people who have land contracts also have loans from the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund, it would also apply to interest that would normally be owed on those loans. I have some problems with the bill because we are trying to develop a loan fund that truly revolves. The loan fund was established by Title III, set up as a revolving loan fund. And we are in a position where if we don't start collecting revenue for that fund as it would normally be collected, it's not going to revolve. It hasn't revolved. And it's not going to be there in the future. I think it's very important to keep it around. I think that some amendments could be made to this bill that would improve it. But as it stands now, it's costing us roughly $500,000 a year of income to the loan fund. We can't afford that drain.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator
Ewing? In Senator Coghill's, thank you, Mr. Chairman, in Senator Coghill's letter, it mentions here that the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund was charged nearly $800,000 in salaries and expenses on the Division of Agriculture. Could you explain that? Why would it be so costly to administer this?
Well, basically what is happening is that the loan fund is paying the pressure for the Division of Agriculture. you're not appropriating it. It's going through. It's passed through, and a lot of the administration costs that are going to the Department of Agriculture are being charged directly to the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund.
Well, we're still appropriating.
We're appropriating.
Still. We're still appropriating it, but it's appropriated out of that stream.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's program receipts. But still, there is a question of the cost, and I would like to have the Department of Natural Resources address why it's so costly to administer this program.
The program right now includes a loan portfolio for the loan fund that is about $40 million. It also has some significant assets. One of them is a creamery, another is an operating meat plant, yet another is a meat plant that is not operating. The total value of those assets is... The real value right now would be very hard to determine because of the state of the economy and the fact that for some of these things there is no current market value at all, but there might be in the future. But I think it would be safe to say that the total value of loan fund and loan fund related assets exceeds $50 million, and it may be, in a good economy, it'd be more like seven. The operating expenses necessary to monitor those investments and monitor those loans, to make loans, to collect loans, to service as a bank services its customers, is running less than 2% of that total. That's not a bad percentage. And that means that for a portfolio that with everything included totals more than $50 million, we're only taking about 1.75% of that for operating expenditures. That's a very reasonable amount. It is also true that for the last two fiscal years, the legislature has appropriated money from the loan fund to pay services that are provided by the Division of Agriculture that are not loan related. That's costing, in our projected budget for 89, that's going to cost about $250,000. That I think philosophically should probably not be charged to the loan fund. But that decision was made by the governor's office 2 years ago. The legislature concurred in it. And we're stuck with it, even though we don't like it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, what are we receiving? And I understand the assets are $50 million and so on, but what are we actually receiving in the loan fund on a yearly basis in paybacks?
I can give you some income figures. This year, fiscal year 88, we will take in about $900,000 of principal. We're estimating $450,000 of interest, and I was told this morning that our 900 figure is probably low. We've already reached that, so we'll probably end up with substantially more, but our interest payments are down.
So
if I could add one thing, a few minutes ago somebody said that it was a program receipt. Senator, I don't remember if that was you or somebody else, but
I did, yes.
Program receipts do not always cover the operating budget. They particularly do not cover it since production credits was initiated, because that wipes out program receipts. And that means that we drain the loan fund, and that is why I have concern about this bill.
What is the, Mr. Chairman, what is the cost per year on the production credits? I mean, Senator Coghill has provided us with credits on the bottom of his memo indicating $1.2 million. But what would it run since 1986? But what has it been? What would you say it is on a yearly basis?
The second page of the fiscal note has it, right?
Well, this has a zero fiscal note.
No, second page.
Bring it behind us.
Oh, okay.
He's got the real card.
To date, when this paper was drawn up, we were $322,000 down.
So, Mr. Chairman, in 88, I calculated between principal and interest that you'd have $1,350,000 in cash flow. Is that correct?
That's going to be close. That's an estimate, but it's close.
Okay. And that's considering that the productions are in effect this year, right?
That's correct.
So that cash, you estimate that, Mr. Chairman, that cash flow is going to continue at about that rate if we were to continue with the production credits?
No, it's going to drop next year. And the reason it's going to drop is because we have a lot of distressed borrowers out there who we can't get any money out of. And until we start getting some money back,
we're going to drop, our income's going to drop.
Mr. Chairman, is the production credit going to help the people that are out there?
No, it's not, I don't think.
Why not?
Because the people who are really in trouble are being restructured, and under restructuring, their effective interest payments almost disappear. If they qualify for restructuring, which is a refinancing package, they only pay interest on 5% of their principal each year. And over the term of the restructuring loan, which is typically 20 years, the average interest amounts to less than 1%. So production credits doesn't really benefit those people except to the extent that they pay interest, which is very little. What production credits does do is give a bonus to those people who can pay their bills. That is good for them, but it's not good for the loan fund. The best that...
That's good for the industry.
Now, I would recommend that we try to do two things with this bill instead of just one. Instead of just trying to reward people who are producing, I would like to reward people who are producing and also reward people who are prompt with their payments to the loan fund, which helps our cash flow. And my suggestion for doing that would be to give them some interest break, but not a total interest break, and to make it conditional on them being current on their payments so that it rewards good borrowers who pay up and helps us keep a flow of money into the loan fund so that it can revolve and be available for future generations.
There you go. Jim, Senator
Hinsley? I don't know very much about this program, but could you give me some idea if, are we dealing with mom-and-pop farms, or are we dealing with corporate investors or whatever?
Mostly mom-and-pops. There are a few people who are far more business-oriented than others and hire out the management of their farms. But I would say that the most of the people are mom-and-pops.
Small.
The thing is that the director indicated properly that there's, you know, that they, that it's not healthy for the fund, but it's certainly healthy for the industry out there, for the small mom-and-pop potato farmer, for the vegetable farmer, for that has a small revolving loan fund. This is not really designed to hit the big agricultural programs in Delta. We've got a restructuring program for that. This wouldn't even hit, but it has to do with, you know, we try and figure out how we're going to give an economic relief to some of that industry. The agricultural industry in Alaska is struggling at the best. It got a big infusion when we had the Ag Action Council. For better or for worse, they opened up an awful lot of areas that they should have taken a little bit more studying in and a little bit more scrutiny. We got a lot of people out there that are in this economic structure now, and I think that this is just extending. We're not changing the program any, extending it three more years. I would suggest that we go ahead and pass the extension, and if there is some programs that need to be looked at in what Mr. Weaver's talking about, that we ought to come in the first of next year with a plan to do some of those type of things. But I certainly haven't had any of that brought before the Resources Committee at this time.
How many people are we talking about there in this program? How many farmers?
We have about 250 borrowers in the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund. That's not all the farmers in the state, but it's certainly a high percentage of them.
Well, Senator Coggill, if would you be satisfied with a lesser time span then, if you're thinking about trying to come up with another program to revamp the program? Would you be satisfied with like a 1 year extension like the other one, so that they can come back next year and take another look at it?
I wouldn't have any problem with extending it for 1 or 2 years or tightening that down so that it keeps the pressure on us to do something about it, but I don't want us to get into a close down mode on it. If you want to extend it one more year and then we keep it in front of us for next year, well, that would be perfectly fine with me.
Yes. Well, I'd be willing to write you letters from the parts of you about the program.
Okay, well, we know that you farm. Well,
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fisher and then Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I understand it, then, we're getting a return of less than 1% on the investment when you look at it for interest.
This is on people who have been determined to be distressed to the point that they cannot pay their under their original terms and where it does not make financial sense to send them to foreclosure. To get into the restructured program, you have to be unable to pay. It doesn't matter where the money comes from, but if you have any income that you can use to pay the loans, then you're not eligible. But if you don't have it, and if it doesn't make sense to put you into foreclosure, then you are eligible to be restructured. That's only a fraction of our borrowers. Those are the people who are really in trouble, and we are trying to figure out a way to get them out so that we both benefit.
Okay, I thought you had said that we have outstanding loans in excess of $50
million.
Is that true?
I think it's closer to $40 million, but there are also other assets.
And then you had said the interest is $450,000. So I'm assuming that for all those loans, this is what we're getting. Well, that equates out to about 1%.
That is correct.
Total for the
that,
total.
That is essentially correct, and that is because of production credits in the past and because of the distressed portion of the borrowers who are not making payments right now and whom we are trying to either send to foreclosure or work out a restructuring package for.
Then the other thing you had mentioned about 5% of something as being, in other words, if you have a $100,000 loan, are you only paying interest on 5% of that $100,000?
It's under restructure.
If you're restructured, if you qualify as a troubled borrower and we don't want to send them to foreclosure because we don't get anything back out of foreclosure, it's better to keep them in business, then if they owe $100,000, their first year's interest payment would only be interest on 5% of that $100,000, which would be 8% times $5,000 would be $400. So there's virtually no interest payments if you're restructured. The other thing to keep in mind is that out of our 250 borrowers, we only have about between 80 and 90 people who are even going to be considered for restructure. And not all of those will be restructured. So it's not most of the borrowers out there. It is a fraction of them.
Mark, in fairness to the people who are in that stage of restructuring, are we really being a disservice to them? I mean, somewhere should you just say, that's it, you're out? Or are we giving them false hope by saying, well, we'll give you another 3 years, and here they are with a lot of sweat, and at the end of 3 years, they're no better off. They could have been maybe working somewhere else and having some good revenue, but the love of the farm and everything else, are we misleading these folks by doing these kind of programs?
I think that I can only tell you the strategy that the loan board and I have adopted, and that strategy has been that they do not get restructured unless it appears that they can honestly make the cash flow requirement. And if they can't make that, then they have been routinely shipped to the AG's office for foreclosure, and some of them have just walked away and said, okay, you know, take everything I have, I'm going to go. A few have done that. Some of them have gone into bankruptcy. Some of them are in the AG's office. The intent is not to dangle the struggling guy who's not going to make it. The intent is to make the best decision we can as to whether they're really viable or whether they're really not. We're going to miss some. There's no doubt about that. Restructuring applications have been going about 2 to 1. About 2 of them that have come in and said, please restructure me, have gotten restructured. For every one that has, the loan board has said, you're not going to make it. For whatever reason, you're gone.
Okay, then, Mr. Chairman, the last question is, we have about 250 borrowers and references being made to the vegetable farmer, potato farmer. How many of those do we really have out of the 250? Are there that many, or are we talking about 20?
They're
into the vegetable business as such. Versus cattle, barley,
okay.
Things like that.
Vegetables, are you excluding nurseries and greenhouses?
You can include those. I was just curious because you very seldom hear about, quote, vegetable farmers making a loan. At least I very seldom hear.
I would say the row crop farmers, field row crop farmers, were probably in the vicinity of 30. And I want to hedge because I can't really, I don't have that number. But it's not 50 and it's more than 10. And I pick 30 as a median.
Thank you.
You want to remember that this just has to do with the interest. If it goes to restructuring, and our next bill that we've got up is on restructuring. This is Ag Day. And this amounts to the people that are making it,
people that are going. It's an incentive to give them a relief on their interest.
Mr.
Chairman, Senator Ewing.
Right. I don't have any problem with the bill. I thought Senator Hensley had a good point about possibly changing the bill that would allow for, you know, maybe taking a look at it in 1990 instead of 1991. Do you have an objection to that?
No.
Okay. But I think that the objective of the bill is to help people who are out there producing things. You know, we've had so many people out there that aren't producing things, and when they are, it's finally getting out there and producing crops and that kind of thing. It is for the industry, and I mean, that's what we want to do. There's no doubt about it. It's a direct subsidy, no matter how you look at it. Of course, it's no different than a lot of other things either. So,
yeah.
So I have no problem with the bill, and I'm ready to move it.
For the members' benefit, I've passed out the law on AS 2408-035, fiscal notes on bills. And, Mark, if you would take a look at that, Senator Coghill has it there also. You know, the law requires that the fiscal notes provide information, and it specifies the information, including the fiscal impact on existing programs. It also requires information on the source of funds expected to be utilized by the general fund, federal fund, or other identified sources. It also requires fiscal impact projection for 5 years, and I would assume that that would be on whatever the source of funds is. Now, it doesn't appear to me that DNR's fiscal notes in this package of bills address the requirements of the statute very well.
Except for their footnote and their analysis, they said attached.
Well, the footnote and the analysis don't show a five-year projection.
Oh.
The previous bill that we had up on the land payments, you know, just showed a zero, and then there wasn't any explanation on the next page. There was no next page. This one has a next page that doesn't run a five-year projection. And I mean, I'd like to deal with these bills, but I am concerned with the way the fiscal notes are presented. That should be the concern of this committee, and I don't know whether we should send a copy of the statute back to DNR. Mark, do you think that the fiscal note that's presented here fulfills the requirements of the statute as you read it?
No, I don't think it does. I confess that I've never seen the statute before, and I will also say, though, that I've had the same concern that I think that statute embodies for this bill, because it's costing our loan fund lots of money, and the fiscal note preparation didn't include that. That's why we stuck in this additional sheet. I think that at least some people in the department may have had the impression that general funds were the only things targeted by fiscal notes, and it is basically true that there's no general fund cost to this bill.
Mr. Chairman, I understand where you're coming from, and I think that maybe you ought to take a look at it. You know, that's quite a lengthy analysis if you look at it from the standpoint that if we don't give the production credits and if we don't do the restructuring, all of that asset base out there that they're loaned against is just going to disappear. And what we're trying to do here is we're trying to give a projection that it's best to forgive them a certain portion of their interest payment if they can make their principal payments. And I agree with the director that that we ought to probably take a look at saying you get that if you pay on time your principal payments, that you're not in one of the other programs. I agree with that, and I agree with maybe extending this for 1 year or 2 years, like the good senator from Kotzebue recommended, and then follow through on it, because if you want to follow the extent of the law here, we should take a look at the fiscal impact of the loan fund if we don't do these projects. If we don't do these projects, you're going to be in the same basic problem that AHA is in right now, Alaska Housing Authority, and that is that you're going to have a whole bunch of rusting machinery out there, all of the farm expertise, and that's a value that you folks, that we have to recognize, that you have some people now that have been on those farms for 7 and 8 and 10 years, and you don't want to lose that expertise of people that have been able to manage to survive that long in this type of a climate. And subarctic farming is not necessarily
something that you pick up in downtown Ohio.
If we talk about
going by the letter of the law, then we have to have an analysis projection on the reverse side. What happens if we don't do these things?
I agree. I'm just...
Yes, I understand.
You know, I would like to see us able to do something with these bills, but I'm concerned about the level of information that DNR has given us. Now, I'm also concerned that maybe DNR doesn't give the level of information necessary if they have not been in support of the bill. I don't know if that's a factor. So I don't want to see a member in trying to advocate legislation at a disadvantage because they haven't got the information. But by the same token, I want to see the department provide the information. Senator Fisher.
I think that's my question was, if we have, if we're talking about the principal, these loans are normally how long, Mark? 20-year loans?
Some of them are one, are you talking about restructured loans or?
Well, we're talking about making interest payments, and I'm looking at the portfolio, and interest, we're only getting 2% of that a year.
Well, but some borrowers are paying full interest, and some borrowers are not paying anything.
I'm looking at the total fund, okay, we're still only getting 2%.
You're not getting a whole lot of interest right
yeah.
now. There's no question about that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I lost your first question.
No, actually, what I was just trying to get a comparison because we were saying as long as these people keep paying principal payments, that's great. You know, it keeps the thing going. But I only see a 2% return on the principal per year. The interest we're getting less than 1%.
This loan fund is in serious trouble, very serious trouble. We are not revolving. We will be out of money, and there will be no money to loan in the next 2 years unless something happens.
Okay, then...
I want to say that.
Why?
Yeah, Mark, we're talking about people that have all this expertise, and if the purpose is to save these people, wouldn't it be better to give a 20% credit than a 10? Would we save more farmers that way? Why 10?
I think that you can't do a debt relief program indiscriminately. That's why I have a problem with this bill. It's indiscriminate. It takes a person, I mean, I used to have an ARLF loan. I paid on time. If I had qualified for production credit, if production credit had been there when I was a borrower, I would not have had to pay any interest. That's great for me. I mean, I like a free loan, too. But the bottom line was that I could afford to pay interest. And the difficulty with alleviating people of all responsibility for interest payments is this loan fund cannot revolve under those circumstances. It just can't do it. And we're going to be out of money. We're going to be sitting here with no money to loan in 2 years.
Mr. Chairman, unless we give you some more.
Go ahead.
Senator Ewing.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
I don't think you should do that.
No. We've got, from the information I have, we have 47 employees that are in the Division of Agriculture with DNR. We have, my estimation is we have about 250 farmers out there. That's one state employee for every five farmers. And what I see more dramatically here is that we have $830,000, which is what we're paying in salaries for the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund, that is coming right out of the fund itself, which is cutting into our cash flow. So it's not only the fact that we're doing the production credits for industry for people to produce more, but we're also charging against this fund 100%, 35%, and so on at a pretty high rate. So it's just like the permanent fund dividend program where that's being charged against in the Department of Revenue, where it's being charged right out of the fund itself, except in this case it really cuts into the cash flow.
Sure it does.
I mean, so obviously that's one of the factors. So when they say they're going to run out of money, they ought to move that off of the fund itself, and then you'd have an extra $830,000 a year.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Duncan?
As chairman of the subcommittee on DNR, I'm very willing to do that. What it means is, of course, you won't fund these positions because it's going to take general fund then. And based on where we're heading with the budget, we're reducing general fund expenditures. So which positions of those 47 should we do away with? We can solve that problem.
47 bothers me. There are some part-time seasonal labor in there, and I think that number is a little bit inflated.
The point is you either general fund it or you do it out of the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund, and everyone's telling me we don't have any money to general fund positions.
We have $50,000.
Wait a minute. We're using the Ag Revolving Loan Fund for... The director's salary is $89,000. The deputy's salary is $79,000. Looks like three or four or five natural resource specialists. I don't know whether they're RSAs or somewhere else. Agronomists, maintenance workers, equipment operators. I mean, I can see loan officers. I can see clerks and typists and the people that follow a loan program. But if this is a loan program, it looks like we're funding everybody.
We are.
Mm-hmm. No wonder it's failing.
I have a sheet
which I will be glad to distribute if you're interested, that is my assessment of the overload on ARLF. In other words, how much is actually being spent out of the loan fund on services that are not loan-related. The total I can give you is, in the projected budget for the governor's proposed budget for 89, it's $252,000, $252,597 is going to be allocated under the governor's proposed budget to non-loan services, to staffing, to contractual line, to whatever it is. And I've got a breakdown of that if you want to see it.
You mean it costs $1.8 million to manage a fund that is only generating half that? If we had that many workout specialists in AHFC, we'd probably be doing a lot better.
And one of the reasons, you are correct, not 1.8, it's proposed at 1.4, I believe. I don't know what you're looking at right now, Senator, but
I'm looking at annual position cost.
Yep. Well, you said something that triggered concern on my part. We don't have a deputy, and you read off deputy, so there's something
okay,
wrong
the,
right off the top.
Okay,
that position was eliminated.
Deputy position.
Mr. Chairman, I think what you should be looking at, comparing, on that chart, Agricultural Development Loan Fund charge off is $830,000, and what Mark is saying is that $252,000 of that should not be charged, in his opinion. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that $252,000 of it is not loan-related,
right.
and is being used to fund positions that are not doing loan fund work.
$252,000 of the $830,000.
Yeah. And part of it is my salary. I am being paid right now about 63% out of the loan fund. I estimate that about 40% of my time is loan fund related. So I think 40% is legitimate, but I don't think 63% is.
Well, this says 50%.
Well, it has changed recently, and that's why there is some discrepancy.
Well, how many active individual farms
would you submit me for?
Do you think we have?
600. More or less.
Active farms?
That's what the federal statistics indicate, and I believe they're correct. You can argue about what a farm is, but their statistics are that if you produce, I think, more than $1,000 worth of agricultural product, you count as a farm.
So we have 600 gardens, some of which are farms.
Gardeners don't usually sell that much. I think they're probably more or less legitimate operations, yes.
Well, I'm going down through this list, and I wondered if we had more farmers.
I think there's a more useful way of looking at it, and that is that we're producing about $30 million worth of product in the state right now, almost all of which is substituted for imports. So the value of the industry to the state is close to $30 million. That's money that is not being shipped outside.
I have heard that. I don't know if that's true. I think it probably is, but I know that we have a lot of horticultural loans out right now. And they tend to pay their bills, which is why we like them as well. That would be greenhouses, nurseries, and row crop operators.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Coggle, would you have an objection if we were to do some cost cutting here in the department itself and look at it from that standpoint, and then we would pick up some extra money and then also be able to do the credits?
Well, I have no objection to that. I'd like to see it move the bill for 1 year. And you know, we're not going to solve the problems of the agricultural community by going in and doing the cost studies. I'd like to see the bill move because even if you extend it for 1 year.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my suggestion would be that we extend it until 1990. That would give us 2 years. And if there's no objection from the sponsor, I would move that amendment.
Okay, we have an amendment to change
We're already, Mr. Chairman, the reason for that is that we're already in 1988. It still gives us 2 years to look at it in our next session, and then we'd be right into 1990.
Senator Hensley, did you have a question?
I think his recommendation
is fine. I have a problem with the information base that we're dealing on, and it's DNR's problem. It's not
Senator Coghill's problem. We don't have a real fiscal note that applies to what's happening here, and that concerns me.
What I'd like to suggest, and I think that Mr. Chairman, Senator Duncan would be very, very interested in doing this also, but if DNR could report back to the subcommittee by the end of the time that they close out their subcommittee on what the status of that is, then maybe Senator Duncan give us a report on that.
Status of what is?
Well, this question that you had on DNR.
Well,
I mean, we got the information.
But they didn't follow the fiscal note law.
We got the information from the budget. We know where the budget's coming from. He's talking about the fiscal note.
Fiscal note?
Yeah.
Well, can't they do that for us, Mr. Chairman?
Well, the critical information is here, I believe. I mean, the information that we can provide you is the estimate of what it costs the loan fund to run this program. And that information is on that page. Well, what we would do is take that and put it onto your format.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, you say that we're not following the fiscal note law. I agree with you, but this would take a longer analytical process than just saying what it's going to cost, because we have to take a look at what it's going to cost otherwise if we don't put this crutch in there. And I think that I'd submit to you that probably most of the agencies are not following this fiscal note law, so please don't just pick on my bill.
Okay.
How else could you say it, huh?
Okay, this one was the one that was probably just the most blatant, because they put a star and said the numbers don't mean anything. And so they called attention to the fact that they weren't giving you the information, and then gave you the information in part on the back sheet. That's where the problem is. I think what I'll be doing is sending a copy of that law to every committee chairman, and just requesting that we go back to the departments and remember what the law said and why it said it, so we know what the effect is on long-term budgeting. I think you're correct that the information in terms of the effect on the fund is provided in the second page. And although it doesn't go 5 years, if we're talking about a bill that terminates in 1990, it can be reasonably assumed that the effect in the out years of that 5-year period is zero. I think essentially the farm advocates are over time destroying their own program. I will be one of those who says no more money when that is done. If this is the way they wish to deal with that program, then I certainly won't hold the bill, and it can go forward. We have an amendment to change the year from 1991 to 1990.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Duncan.
If you're going to make an amendment, then you have to change line 14 also to 1991 and 1992, right. I think.
I would move that we also change line 14 to 1991. You ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Without objection, in both cases, or let's see. Okay, the whole repealer goes to 1991. The credit dates go to 1990.
That's right. Mr. Chairman, does that make sense?
Sure.
Sure it does. It's repealed the same.
Well, I guess that does make sense, because returning your filing is in 1990. Okay, that does make sense.
In fact, Mr. Chairman, in following in your line, I agree with you 100%. When the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund took over all of the agricultural, the Ag Action Group's process and all of their problems that they unloaded on them, next year it's my hope that we come in with a farm credit thing and take over the role of government in providing the funding for the seasonal program of crops and fertilizer. I've been working on that for a couple of years.
We might disagree on what the role of government would be. Okay, we have Mr. Weaver.
I can't resist this. I have to tell you, Mr. Chairman and Senators, I am a farmer. I don't like this bill, and I'm not the only farmer that doesn't like this bill. I'd like to make that clear for the record.
So the department does not support the bill?
We do not support the bill.
Well, I'll move the bill, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion to move the bill out of committee.
Mr. Chairman, let me just ask a question first.
Senator Duncan.
There, I guess I was just interested in Mr. Weaver's comments there because I don't see that in the position paper from the commissioner. Is that what that position paper says? It says the department's concerned about the extension, but it doesn't say that you don't support it. But that's an official position from the department?
I think I'm safe in saying that. And I think on this kind of an issue, the commissioner would give me latitude to speak my own mind, even if we had some disagreement. I don't believe that we do.
Okay. Remember when you're dealing with these idiots, you never know. Right?
I'm sorry.
You're dealing with these idiots in general, you never know. It's a private joke.
No objection, I guess.
Okay, the bill's been moved. I'm assuming it's moved as a finance CS with the date changes. I have another question of the committee. The title could also be changed to reflect the date. There it would relate an act extending the agricultural production credit law for the tax years or to the tax years 1989 and 90.
Say that again.
Well, as the title reads now, the bill could be amended to extend the agricultural production credit for the next 50 years.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that amendment.
You want to put the years in the title?
Yes.
I think that's what the question was, yes.
I don't have an objection.
I don't have any objection to that.
Sounds reasonable.
Just make sure the years are right so you don't have to get a concurrent resolution to go over to the House.
I'm not naming any bridges, Senator. Okay, we have a conformity amendment which would put the years also in the title.
Yeah.
And that would be drafted as a CS. We have a motion, excuse me, to move the bill as a Finance Committee substitute. Are there objections? Without objection, the bill will be moved out with individual recommendations. The next bill before us is also Senator Cogswell, 359.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In 1986, we also did an economic recovery program for the farmers, and we allowed the Commissioner of Natural Resources to reorganize the debt, the Delta 1 and Delta 2. This bill was 349. This bill had two hearings in the Senate Finance and a special teleconference to gather the intent statement so the bill would pass the test for constitutionality. Now, 2 years later, the Division of Agriculture is just beginning to address the restructuring program. And the section which allows the commissioner in consultation with the Agricultural Revolving Loan Board to renegotiate terms for chattel or farm improvement loans. The department could administratively take action similar to those taken by bankruptcy courts to assist farmers reorganizing their debt. The Division of Agriculture has been implementing a restructuring of the debt program, but I have concerns that this program does not meet the goals of the Senate Bill 349 of the 14th legislature. I'm asking the committee to extend the tenets of 349 for two more years so that we can, to protect against the programs that we have in the arbitrary inaction that has been done by the Department of Natural Resources and the Division in implementing this law, because I'm not overwhelmed by the way they've handled it. In fact, the law passed in 1986. They didn't get it implemented until November of 87. They've just finally now started to put a hearing officer up there to start working on it. We've had turn down after turn down of people that have gone in for the first part. There's two parts to that 349. One was where they could turn back their land, reduce their debt, and then reapply for the land under a lease program. Then there was the other side of the other part of it was, which gave the commissioner, in conjunction with the department or with the Agricultural Revolving Loan Board, to renegotiate the terms for the chattel and for the farm improvement loans. There's two basic structures within that 349. 359, the bill that's before you, extends it two more years.
Well, Mr. Chairman, to Senator Cockfield, why is it always, every time we do an extension, and that's fine, but now I see we've got another fiscal note in here where we have two more clerical positions and then another Department Natural Resource Manager. why do we have to add all these positions on to keep the thing rolling? Why does it take three positions to correct a loan deficiency? I just don't understand.
I don't understand it either, and I guess Mark Weaver better get back up here to the table.
To be honest with you, Mr. Chairman, Senator Duncan will have to take care of that in his committee, of course, then when it comes around to the budget review.
And he's got me just beady-eyeing him, too.
Would you explain that you've not known this big government career?
How can it possibly cost this much? Yes. I understand, you know, this committee's got very legitimate concerns about empire building and divisions. I understand that. That's not what's going on here. Senate Bill 349, the predecessor to 359, was a write-down bill, but it was a very complicated write-down bill. We spent a lot of attorney time trying to figure out how that bill could be implemented and developing policies that were not clear-cut at the beginning by any means. It involved some sophisticated land transactions, a lot of preparation of title documents, a lot of collateral negotiation, because those lands that were being relinquished were security for loans that were not always just inside the department, certainly not always inside the Division of Land and Water or the Division of Agriculture. It required a lot of expertise. The result of having the bill passed with no fiscal note, which is what happened, and I wasn't around then, I don't know why it was passed with no fiscal note, but it was disastrous because it required us to undertake a program that we did not have staff to undertake. At the same time, we were involved in trying to resolve debt problems of farmers who were not just Delta farmers. So we elected a strategy of developing an industry-wide restructuring process, and once that was in place, we then began to turn our attention more specifically to 349, knowing that the restructuring process would have eliminated some of the debt problems that 349 was passed to in an attempt to solve. That still didn't solve our staffing problems, because we're not only doing restructuring, which eats up incredible quantities of staff time, we are also now trying to do something on Senate Bill 349. Quite frankly, the positions that are called for here are positions that should have been funded if we were going to do 349 when 349 was passed. The fact that we're now asking for them when the bill is being extended doesn't mean that the work has gone away. It hasn't. It's still sitting there. And there's a lot of it. This was not a clean bill. I guess hindsight is easy, but if we're going to do a write-down bill, I would prefer to see a clean write-down bill. I'd prefer to see one that says, give up half the debt so we can punch it into the computer and be done with it. That's not what this bill did. It created an administrative nightmare. It's complicated by the fact that two divisions are involved, so you have a split chain of command at the base, and that makes things four times harder to do. I hope that's helped answer your questions.
Senator Fisher?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the previous bill where we extended the agriculture production credit law, and you look under the staffing, we have two natural resource manager ones, we have two natural resource officers ones, so there's four people. Now you're saying on top of that we still want to hire another natural resource manager one, right?
Yes.
And it just seems to me if we have so few loans out there compared to the staffing, that should be able to be done with existing staff instead of hiring two more clerk typists. And who pays for this? Does this come out of the loan fund too?
Well, this is, I believe it's a general fund increment if it goes through.
Actually, it's listed as interagency receipts.
Agency receipts from where, though?
Where?
The receipts from the loan fund?
Must be. That's what the fiscal note says.
Over my dead body.
There's a fund out there that he's drawn from. You just don't know what it is.
It says general fund.
Where did you say that at?
First page.
Well, but then, Mr. Chairman, it does say on the first page, but then if you look at the backup on these forms, that's not what it says on the backup.
I mean, why are we funding people in the Division of Land and Water Management?
Well, Land and Water Management takes care of the land part of it. That's one of the problems that we got, Mr. Chairman, is that the relinquishment of the land and the lease back and the reduction of the land debt, which was one half of the bill, is really in the Division of Land and Water Management. The other, the debt restructuring, is in AFFL, then the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund Board, because it's the commissioner's got to consult with them, because it's really their cup of tea.
I guess this is the first time, at least I've seen, where you have one quote manager and two clerk typists. Usually it's the other way around, or at least 1-to-1 ratio, but my gosh, how can one guy keep two clerk typists busy?
I keep four.
It's basically that we have.
I keep four going.
Jeez.
You have two divisions involved in this process. I said it wasn't clean. It isn't clean. There are two divisions involved, and there are two sets of files involved, and they're 50 miles apart.
If this were to go out with a zero fiscal note and say to you, you do it somehow within these existing, I don't know, 40 bodies or whatever it is, what would you do?
We would struggle along like we've been struggling along.
And not get it done. That's the reason why we had to go for the 2-year extension.
Why can't the people that are, Mr. Chairman, why can't the people that are there be more productive? I mean, really. I mean, the whole thing is
productive.
Martin?
Yes. The basic elemental problem is that a natural resource manager or officer, that classification is a very broad classification. It's a garbage pail. We use it to describe people who have widely differing talents. When you've got an existing program, which we have a land conservation program, and there are people trained to do that. And when you dump some program like this, which basically requires people to do title documentation, you cannot, I mean, it's like taking somebody who's been trained to be an engineer and say, here, go do this lawsuit. It doesn't work that way. You can't just impose upon them a job description and a requirement of service that they're not trained to do. And that was precisely what happened with Senate Bill 349. It did that to us, and that's why we're having such incredible difficulty getting it done. It's easy to say, well, then get rid of the people you had and get new people, but the personnel system doesn't allow that. And the jobs that those people were doing don't go away. That work still has to be done. This isn't a matter of having workers, having staff who are inefficient. It's a matter of having staff for specific programs. Suddenly a new program is interjected, and there's nobody capable of doing those new things, and no budget to hire a person to do it. It's a tremendous problem, and funding it is only half the problem. You still have to work with the personnel system to try to make a classification that will work this kind of work. And the NRM classification, frankly, is a catch-all, so that you never know who you're going to get at the top of the list.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that maybe contract that stuff out. Because my concern is we put 3 more people on the payroll, we're going to have those people on. This problem will be solved in a couple of years, but they're going to be on for the rest of their lives.
That is a very reasonable solution.
So I would have no problem working with Senator Duncan and put money in.
No, if we're going to do that, let's do it in the fiscal. I don't have to add anything. Senator Coggle doesn't want to add anything to your budget.
No, we can take it out of DEC and put it over here.
No. We're going to do it. We need to do it by a fiscal. He's convinced me we can't put balloon in this government.
I'll get you all hooked up in Dennis.
Let's get people to work out there.
Jobs bill.
Well, it's an extension, Mr. Chairman, of the existing thing. It's a matter of funding it. Put under contract, take it out of something else. We need to go forward with it. And that's the reason for the 2-year extension, is because they're just now getting on off the dime on it.
Senator Fisher, I guess what I hear is you're saying there's a direct relationship between getting the job done and personnel. So then why not go 1 year and make it 6 people? Contracting for 1 year?
There are delays that we don't control. I'll give you an example.
Delays. Oh.
When you know, we solicit, for example, financial information from somebody, there's a turnaround time, and we don't control the turnaround time. And if we say get it back in 30 days and they get it back in 40 days, you've lost 10 days and you can't really do anything about it. You can get tough, but ultimately, if they get, you know, litigious, you're going to lose. So you can't control that kind of delay. The steps that it took to go through 349 are incredible. I mean, there was back and forth. Paperwork and decisions had to be made on one end, then on the other, then somewhere else. and that only got through the first phase. Then there are five more phases after that. It's an incredibly complicated process, and each borrower has to be dealt with individually with a best interest finding made, and a best interest finding involves a preliminary finding, it involves factual documentation, it involves rights of appeal. It's not an easy system to go through. The Administrative Procedure Act determines what we have to do in these cases, and it's complicated. It's not something you just decide in one day.
Chairman, I guess getting back to Senator Ewing,
let me throw this out to you. Why couldn't we take the whole loan portfolio and contract it out with the private lender and say, these are the things, you guys run it, we're going to pay you $800,000 a year plus a bonus if you make it run right, although... What would happen? That way you don't have to worry about this.
They're
going to do it on basic good management principles, but we're going to give them the tax credits and everything else to play, to work with.
That is very appealing, and it would be very appealing in most states. I'm not sure it would work here. And I'll tell you my one reservation about that kind of proposal is that what is missing in this state right now is a private lender with agricultural expertise. There are none. And, I mean, I will make a personal observation. I think the lending industry in the state is very backwards. I've had bankers agree with me on that.
But if there's no, Mark, just let me continue to jump. If there's no lending expertise, you don't have it.
There is.
But what we have is a staff of people who know something about agriculture, all right? And those people are available to the loan staff. If you looked at the chart of people in my office, and you looked at the number of people who are related somehow, even though it may be only 10% of their time are related to the loan program, you would see that we have the capability of drawing on expertise in many different sectors of our office, many different sections.
So,
we have expertise in that office. We know something about agriculture, and that information, that expertise, is available to help the loan board and the loan staff make good decisions about loans. When we ship that out, I don't know what happens, but I don't expect the best. I think we're going to have problems.
Are you saying that your staff are people who have had ag loans themselves at one time or another here in the state of Alaska?
No, I'm not. I'm saying that we know something about farming. If you're making a loan to somebody who comes in, I mean, let's be simplistic. He comes in and says, I'm growing bananas, and I want a loan. There's a problem. Now, what if he comes in, obvious, everybody here will agree that that's a problem. What if he comes in and says, I'm growing potatoes and I'm growing them in such and such a location on the Kenai Peninsula? There's also a problem because that's not likely to work. But without agricultural expertise, you do not know that.
I guess what I'm getting at, I don't know what you're going to do with this. I mean, you say it is a problem, yet it's just since you picked the Kenai Peninsula, we used to have a fantastic greenhouse out there. They were growing hothouse tomatoes and all this going great. Now they went under also, and we had an expertise of some kind of state loan because it did go under. It seems to me if we go with the private sector, they have available also those expertise, and I don't care whether it's from Oregon or whether it's from Washington, but those folks are around, and chances are this kind of portfolio, they may hire an ag loan examiner from another state, which is familiar with agriculture.
There may be benefits to that. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying
I know that's not this bill, Mr. Chairman, but it just seems to me each time we just do a little bit, but maybe we need to take the whole package, let the private sector run with it, make it a good incentive for them to run with it, and get the bureaucracy out of it, make those decisions on finance and practicality instead of political.
I don't think philosophically you are incorrect. I think that is a perfectly viable option. I'm not convinced that it would save money. Or to put it another way, if we have the opportunity to clean up our loan program and to make it work, I think it will be as efficient as the private sector. At least it could be.
But you have that capability now if you want to clean it up.
Well, you just passed out of this committee a bill that wiped out our interest. How can I clean up a loan fund when we don't have any revenue? I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet, but I'll work on it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, one of the comments that was made was in regard to the fact that we don't have people out there that are, are familiar with agriculture. We do have, we put $30 million into the CFAB bank, that went into the whole stock thing. They're supposed to do that.
They have no agricultural loans.
Well, that may be true. I mean, that's a problem.
We don't know what happened to the FAB part of the CFAB.
I'm just pointing out that there has been a lot of interest in the past. Now, maybe they haven't followed through with it, and they should. And they should get a direction from the legislature that they should.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think
it'd be great. I think that's what you need.
And I think that that's where we have to go. And I think that we ought to do a farm production
program where that we get it into the private sector and get rid of the revolving loan fund.
It's not near as much fun cleaning the kitchen as it is making cakes.
Well, you know, let's face it, Senators and Mr. Chairman, you know, the problem that we're trying to resolve here is one that we created ourselves, and when we threw all of that money at the agricultural community and we allowed all of those that lose money in those loans, and particularly the promotion of Delta 1 and Delta 2. And what we were trying to do here was trying to get some way or other to reduce their debt and still salvage what we could out of the agricultural program.
And Chairman, I don't know whether we have the money or whatever, but everybody's doing studies on everything. In education, we're going to come up with another $180,000 and look at the foundation program again in the unit evaluation. Maybe it's about time, and I hate to suggest a study, but maybe what we need to do is to get somebody with expertise in ag banking to come in and look at the system, but have a predetermined shooting for how can we make it best operate and come up with some conclusion. And maybe we haven't done this, I guess, at all, have we? Had anybody come in and look and say, how can we best make this thing work? How can it be most efficient? And give us the pros and cons of the state doing it, the private sector doing it, combination of both.
I think that would be excellent.
But I don't know what that would cost. I would assume you could probably do it for somewhere around $100,000. Or maybe, Mr. Chairman, maybe the Chairman of Resources can get something going during the interim to address that issue and just see. Maybe we're just going down a blind alley here and we're piecemealing it every year when we should have a comprehensive program and do it all at once.
Take it out of the fund.
I will say that might be money well invested. I am not opposed to that. It may be money well invested. It may be one of those instances where you spend a nickel and you save a dollar. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any objection to that, even though it comes out of loan.
Well, you know, we can go through the past errors of the agricultural program for a long time. The fact is we don't have the people here that we'd like to have here when we go through that. But all this bill does in the area that really is in conflict, because apparently the restructuring with the leases is working, but it's a renegotiation of debt. And the thing that we're extending, as I read it, out of the bill that was passed, Chapter 109 of 86, or the Commissioner of Natural Resources, in consultation with the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund Board, may renegotiate with individual loans for cattle or farm improvements located on the agricultural land in the Delta Project if the Commissioner determines renegotiation is necessary to minimize financial losses to the state and that it's in the best interest of the state. So there's two standards. Minimize financial loss would be in the best interest of the state. It applies to Delta Project only. It applies to individual loans for chattels or farm improvements. It's on agricultural land. And all we're doing is we're extending that period of renegotiation for 2 years. Now, it doesn't seem to me that that is a huge change. It also doesn't seem to me that it mandates any improvement at all. But at least it's a statement that they have that option to go forward outside of the bankruptcy court. Whether they do that or not is an internal question that deals with all of the pieces of the whole agricultural mess that's out there.
It was intended to be that way, Mr. Chairman.
No, it wasn't intended to be the mess that's out there, but I know what you said.
Intended for them to clean the house up and give them the latitude to do it.
Does the department have any objection to this bill?
No, I don't think so. I don't know that it makes things better, but we don't have any objection to it. It prolongs some agony. I guess that's the best way of putting it.
Well, only if you, in that renegotiation process, make the wrong decisions. It doesn't say that you have to renegotiate. It says the Agri-Revolving Loan Fund Board may renegotiate.
The commissioner may. But that may carries a lot of baggage with it. That may carries the entire weight of the Administrative Procedure Act with it, and it means that there has to be an individual finding made in every case. And that happens when a borrower talks to the loan staff. The loan staff then forward that to the loan board. The loan board then forwards something to me. I send it back to the borrower. The borrower gets a right to reconsider. He comes back before the loan board and me. I get to make a finding, and that finding can get appealed to the commissioner, theoretically to the governor, and then to the courts. I mean, that happens for everybody out there by virtue of the Administrative Procedure Act. It's not a little thing. It's a lot of work.
Well, Senator Hensley?
Why can't we simplify it?
Administrative Procedure
Act. I mean, do we have to have the Administrative Procedure Act apply to this thing?
Yes.
That's a great question.
Thank you. If you say may, I think you do. Yes. And if you say, yeah, I don't see any way around that.
Well, if we say shall, we're mandating it. Obviously,
yes.
That's not the interest. If we say may, then there has to be a standard to determine whether it's may or may not.
Okay.
How about, you might consider doing it if you choose.
That doesn't work. You get right back into the may trap. May carries a lot of baggage. It just does. And you know, the Administrative Procedure Act is designed to make sure that the government makes rational decisions. But it takes, you know, it's like winding your way through the court system. A fair trial doesn't happen in a day. It takes 6 months, a year.
You're the attorney. You should be able to get through the court system.
The thing is that if we don't pass this bill, it ends June 30th of this year. And what you'll do is that those people that are still in the process will be out of the process, and you're in a position where that you're going to have a lot of failures. And I think a lot of lawsuits, too, because there has been some talk now about the fact that some farmers got lured into the program with their eyes wide open.
Senator Coghill, why did we originally limit this to Delta?
Delta 1, Delta 2. On the lion swath only, not on the restructuring.
This applies to any of the restructuring debt.
Any of the restructuring debt, the first part of the bill only applies to the Delta 1 and Delta 2.
Well, that's not the way I read it. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Well, you're restructuring other people.
We are restructuring, but not in
this. Oh, okay. Sorry. It's Delta 1, Delta 2, but they are restructuring other people under other authority.
Under the same general authority that would exist whether this bill passed or not.
Yes. That's right.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple points, and of course we've gone through this bill pretty well, but you know what bothers me about it is that I think that you asked Mr. Weaver's department's position, and he hesitated and said, well, I think we can say we support it. I don't understand why the department's not taking positions on this legislation. In fact, a memo from Elizabeth Ziegler, Senator Coghill's office, just states that the commissioners refused to give a position. Does that mean that we run this thing through and we do all this, and the governor then decides that it's something he doesn't want to sign, that he vetoes it? Why aren't you folks giving a firm position whether you support this or don't support it? I've run into this the last two or three days with several other topics where we're not finding out what the administration's position is on various issues. Is it possible to get a letter from the commissioner stating the department's position?
She has, Mr. Chairman.
Where?
She said it is the commissioner's position that the Delta farmer should not be given any more special breaks.
But she didn't write that. That's written by Senator Coghill.
By our staff. Yeah. That's correct. That's their position. They'd just as soon see all the farmers
that's
go away.
Interpretation of their position.
Yes, interpretation is true. I guess that's what concerns me. One is we're not getting clear indications of whether the administration believes these are good ideas or not good ideas. It doesn't necessarily make any difference, except if they aren't going to recommend signing of the legislation, what are we doing here? The second thing is, before we just, I don't know what you're going to do in the fiscal note, but it does need to be straightened out whether it's general fund or agricultural revolving loan fund, because it's conflicting. First page says general fund, the rest of it says other funds. So,
what is the desire of the sponsor in terms of fiscal?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
I was
the question.
Asking Senator Coghill as a sponsor.
I think that we should go forward with the fiscal note. I'll try and find the money someplace for it, Mr. Chairman. And yeah, that's, to me, is the biggest problem that we've had with the division in getting this thing implemented. If we're going to spend the time to do it, well, we ought to give them the staff to do it. Maybe we can negotiate it down in our subcommittee to the point where that we can find a position somewhere to move in there. But I don't know whether they need a new manager. Maybe with all of the work being done, if we just have a clerk type, I don't know. I think we can. We'll negotiate that with Mark.
Mr. Chairman. I guess I have a problem with putting on three more positions. I would suggest that if they want to do it on a one-time basis, as Senator Fisher was suggesting, that they should be given a certain amount of money to get this particular task done and then put it in as a contractual type of item. If there's no objection to that, let them get it out there and put it out in the private sector. Because what's going to happen is the positions are going to stay for the next 10 or 20 years, And then the job's going to be done. It's going to be done in a couple of years, and we're going to be adding to the operating budget. I don't know. That's my point. Like the department, I don't know what the department's position is on that.
Okay, I would just like to take about 5 minutes of these and decide what we're going to do with this. And if the members will be back in 5 minutes, I think we need to deal with how we're going to handle these fiscal notes on this package of bills. So we're at ease, 5 minutes. Okay, what we're going to do, because these bills all tie together, and because we need some fiscal note information, essentially it applies to all of them, and because the other piece of the agricultural package did not come up here, the bill on the Matt Mead Dairy, we're going to, the bills that we've signed out, we're gonna hold, they're all signed out, but we're going to get the fiscal information on them. We're going to get the fiscal information on this bill. We'll again, midweek, next week, schedule an ag day and take them all up together. But it is important that we see all the pieces of the puzzle together in terms of what needs to be done in agriculture. If it's going to, even if it's going to be a Band-Aid, let's have one big Band-Aid instead of a lot of little Band-Aids.
Sounds good.
So with the consent of the committee, we will, if we can go on. Mark Weaver, if you could go back and see if you can get some fiscal information for us, and thank you.
I don't know.
We will appreciate your efforts. Jack, if you would stay right there because we're going to go on.
We got one more
Delta Bison bill.
We got one more bill.
Right. Yeah, we're going to try and get that bill out. And this should be a simple
question. I've got to run in 5 minutes.
No.
We're just all we're doing.
I'll go along with your program, Mr. Chairman. As long as we can get a subsidy if the salmon berries aren't plentiful this summer.
Salmon berry loan, huh?
Okay. We are on to Senate Bill 360, which is repeal the termination date of the Delta Junction Bison Range. Senator Coghill, prime sponsor of the legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You should have in your packet a map of the Delta Bison Range. You should have a copy of the original act establishing it. What we're doing here is we'd like to repeal the termination date of the Delta Bison Range altogether. It's working. It's producing a revenue. It was established in 79 to prevent the buffalo from wandering all over the valley. They've pretty much confined themselves into that particular area. From the Fish and Game's analysis, it can be seen that the program has been successful. It's prevented the bison from wandering and foraging all over the bloody place. And we think that it's, that to do away with the termination date is the proper thing to do. We urge the committee to support the bill. Straightforward. I don't think that we're going to get into the agricultural evolving loan board system. The fiscal note goes through until there's still some program receipts in there are available. $5 charge for permit application for the bison. You know, we could maybe next year take a look at that, and I've suggested that maybe we increase that to $25, and I don't think anybody would have a problem with that.
Okay, but the fiscal note is matched by the revenue.
Yeah.
The bill is in the committee because it has a fiscal note.
Yeah.
The bill has a unanimous due pass out of the Resources Committee, of which we have two members that were at that meeting that are here. It would be my inclination that unless we have fiscal questions, we can go ahead and move the bill. Senator Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 360 resources out of committee with individual recommendations. I think it is clear cut, and it's good to see something being terminated or repealed.
It's a repeal of the repealer, Senator.
It's a repeal. Yeah, it's a repeal. Yeah, it's go on
which
forever.
Means it never terminates.
Going forever.
Yeah. But that also means we don't have to face this again.
It's working.
It's working.
Well, okay, we have a piece of legislation that we were working on.
Yeah. We get two,
Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 362.
The Dud Creek.
We had the folders passed out on Senate Bill 362.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to report this bill back. I know that we did hear it yesterday. There was some problems that I had with the bill. I was able to get those questions answered that I had, and it was actually just a misunderstanding more than anything else. And I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that we move out committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 362 Resources.
Is this Carl?
Individual
Paul?
Recommendations and the attached zero
percent. The motion is before us to move out Senate Bill 362 establishing the Dude Creek Critical Habitat Area. Are there objections to the motion? Without objection, Senate Bill 362 is moved out of committee with individual recommendations.
Thank you, and we're adjourned. Oh, we have one thing we want to just check with, and that's Senate Bill 42. Everybody has a draft that came back on the changes. If you'd all take a look at that, we'd like to have that read across today. Now, Senator Duncan, you weren't here. It was your bill.
I don't have a copy of the draft.
Well, what everyone, Bill, we could have had the draft. The bill is already out of committee, but we said we'd bring the CS back. Or what's the subject there?
It's good. Jim Duncan gives us retirement program. Gives retirement incentive program for all legislators
who are
not running next time.
Mr. Chairman, what's on the calendar today?
Pardon?
What's on the calendar this afternoon?
Haven't you been here for the last couple days?
Well, at 1 o'clock we're meeting on Senate Bill 415, which is, I can't remember what that was. It's an act relating to an appropriation for the court system.
Okay, but I have a conflicting. Are you going to take any?